Cowboy.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could join us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And as we get closer and closer to free agency, God, it is heating up in the NFL in terms of quarterbacks. Talk about Philip Rivers. He's officially done with being a Charger. He's now off to free agency. This is news we already knew that this was going to happen. He moved his family to Florida. We already knew there was a parting of ways. If you watched his final game, the final press conference, you knew, he knew, they knew it was all coming to an end. The Chargers have a top 10 selection. They're going to go with the quarterback of the future, and Philip Rivers' time in Los Angeles is done. Well, where do the Chargers go from here? And more importantly, where does Philip Rivers go from here? It's such a fluid nature of quarterbacks coming into 2020. I don't think I've ever seen it like this before. Now, listen, if I go through the history and I probably find a year, maybe I'll go, oh yeah, I remember that when everybody was bouncing all over the place. But we don't see the level of possibilities at the quarterback situation. At least I don't remember where you've got big names that once, not that long ago, were so secure in their jobs, now with the possibility of everybody moving on to other things. Now, we know in a situation like Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, for example, that fifth year was coming up, and then all, you know, you had to kind of prove if you want that extension. Mariota didn't. There's still talk about Jameis Winston getting one in Tampa Bay. That we kind of can see. That we kind of expect. But when you're talking about the possibility, think about this. When you talk about the possibility of Tom Brady changing locations, Philip Rivers changing locations, Drew Brees possibly retiring, Eli Manning has retired, Ben Roethlisberger coming onto the last few years of his career, Cam Newton, a one-time MVP not that long ago, could be moving on to somewhere else. Right? There's all of a sudden this opening and this feeling of where is everybody going to go? Where is everybody going to end up? And that's just the beginning. Think about Ryan Tannehill at Tennessee. Marcus Mariota is going to have to move on. Jameis Winston may move on. We'll see. We'll talk more about this coming up. The fluidity of the quarterback position in the NFL going into 2020 and into the offseason. I can't remember a year like it. We'll talk about the possibilities for almost everybody coming up next. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, feel free to do so at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's, please, or he won't get it. He wants to get it on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along. By the way, I don't do this enough, and I feel like I need to do it more. We to promote the podcast. If you miss this show or you only get an hour of it, you want to listen to all 3 hours, go to podcastarena.com. You can subscribe to the podcast. Have it downloaded your phone. You get us anytime you want.
Or if you like what you heard and you want to hear it again.
That's right. If you like what you heard and you go, boy, I really, really like their bit on whatever.
Yeah, I need to share it with my friend.
That's right. That's the other thing we would love you to do is to leave us a good rating if you like us and share it with your friends.
Yep.
We continue to grow this morning show we do.
They're posted
every day.
You can find it on Twitter. You can find it on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. So subscribe. Some people do. Some people have reached out to me and said, you know, I only get 1 hour and I want to listen to the whole show. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Appreciate it. So it's just this show. And
we try
and
not to suck for the entirety of the show.
I can't promise that.
No, we never promise
we
that.
We never promise that.
God.
Lord knows. But so I'm going to, I got to do that a little more.
And every once in a while you have a Frankenberry that brings you down.
That's right. That's right. Continuing to believe that that's the best monster cereal ever created. Frankenberry, I feel like I need to send you some Count Chocula because I think you really would like Count Chocula better.
I want to find that werewolf one.
Fruit Brute?
Fruit Brute.
Yeah. Man, if General Mills is listening, bring back Fruit Brute. Isn't that just Fruity Pebbles or Fruity Marshmallows with oats?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I was never a Fruity Pebbles guy.
What?
I was definitely a Cocoa Pebbles
person. Fruity Pebbles is fantastic. You can literally eat an entire box and not realize
you did.
I
will say this. I did like what's the one? Oh, Fruit Loops. I did like the one with the toucan
that's
Sam.
That's a lot of different.
That's a lot. I know. But
yeah. Fruit Loops
the
is
problem
just
with Fruity Pebbles
Cheerios.
Was it got mushy. Like, if you didn't eat it right away, it got mushy.
Well, what are you waiting for, Tony?
You got to wolf it down. That's
you
right.
Wolf it down.
That's right.
I mean, you saying you don't like Fruity Pebbles is like saying you don't like the Flintstones.
I know.
Basically
I know.
The same thing.
That's true. Remember when the Flintstones smoked cigarettes?
Do I?
60s. Bonnie, give me a Winston.
Ooh, Brad, Fred, here you go.
Ah, nothing. To play, to ward off the nagging of Wilma, I smoke a Winston cigarette. Oh, that was the best.
They didn't have lung disease back in caveman days, Tony.
No, they did not. They could smoke away to their heart's content.
I mean, they look at their life going, man, if we make it a 30, we're, ancient.
That's right. That's right.
Put us in a home.
Eaten by a saber-toothed tiger or something like that. So I was talking about the fluidity of the NFL quarterbacks. This is really amazing. Look, if somebody could tell me a year that I'm missing in the last, I don't know, 20, where it seemed more fluid than it is now, then I'll fine. Thank you.
I don't think so.
But I can't think of one where I've got so many questions going into the offseason is who's actually going to be the most important positional player for a number of teams.
I mean, you have you have Hall of Fame quarterbacks, borderline Hall of Fame quarterbacks, just franchise players, the face of teams who may not be there much longer.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you have Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Cam Newton has been rumored to be on his way out.
On his way out. Exactly. You got Drew Brees contemplating retirement. Could be out. And also, Teddy Bridgewater's a free agent. He might not even stay with New Orleans.
He shouldn't.
Right?
He should. I mean, he could easily. I think he could be a starter for any team right now.
He went 5-0 filling in for Breeze. So he should be right back in being a starter somewhere.
Yeah, I mean,
they're talking about. And the Saints might go, we wanted Taysom Hill anyway. So we love you, but don't get us wrong.
He proved
we want to give the reins to Taysom Hill.
He proved that he can play. And that was all that mattered.
That's right. That's all he was looking for.
And he needed tape. As the college kids would say.
There'll be young guys taking over teams, finally, like, locking themselves in. I mean, look, not to just go through the list, but, like, Tom Brady, the Patriots could be on the move or it could stay. You don't know. Buffalo's set. The Jets are set. The Dolphins could have a rookie quarterback under center, right? The Ravens are good. The Steelers are good. The Browns are good. The Bengals could have Joe Burrow under center.
But even right? Okay, I'm going to stop you real quick. I'm going to assume the Browns are good, but I feel like that's not even 100% at this moment in time.
I think it's good going into the season. I don't think they're making a quarterback change in the offseason.
Yeah, but I think
at some point in the regular season they might.
To me, I look at it as like there's really only three spots I think that are locked down solid, and that's Seattle or four. I'm going to throw Houston in there. Seattle, Houston, Kansas City, and Baltimore.
The only four teams where it's locked into going into week one?
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is that those are your franchise quarterbacks. Those are going to be the same quarterbacks beginning of the season towards the end of the season. I can see other teams making a change if things don't go the way they want them to or it's just stagnant.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. I'm not saying
there's not going to happen, but those are the four, like, if we want to like start like tier one, tier two, tier three,
right?
Those
okay.
are the four in tier one right now.
All right, because I could see Matt Ryan being benched to injury, but I don't see Matt Ryan losing his job to a backup quarterback. They're paying him too much money not to play.
Well, I mean, but what if he comes out of the gate and he's just not that great?
He's done that before.
That's one of those that's on the cusp. Like, okay, you know what? It's just not working out with Matt Ryan. Why don't we give this young guy, this new guy, whoever they bring in?
It does depend on who's your backup.
Yeah, who is it? Is it Matt Schaub? I think
Matt
is the backup.
Yeah, never mind.
Right. I'll bump Ryan up to the tier one now. Know that it's Matt Schaub.
But yeah, I understand. There's a little bit more.
But, I'm looking at Josh Allen with the Bills, or I'm looking at Matt Stafford with the Lions. Kirk Cousins, I like that, but I just don't know if, we almost saw him benched last year.
Yeah.
Because there was a mutiny going on with his wide receiver corps, saying, basically calling him out, going, this guy's terrible.
So, like in the AFC South, Houston has said Titans may go with Tannehill, may not go with Tannehill. That's an interesting conversation because the Titans want to, they like Tannehill enough, but here's the thing. Do they love him mega? Like, do they love him like big deal good? Probably not. And they could get him on a deal, but maybe he wants a little more and feels like he could land somewhere else. The Titans could franchise him, but they should franchise Derrick Henry if they can't lock him in. So that's where they should be going. They could see Tannehill walk just to walk, just because he wants to walk.
And Tannehill could have that big head going, hey, I brought you guys to the AFC Championship.
Saved 7-3 since replacing Mariota. So one win away from the Super Bowl. Somebody's going to want him. Right, Indianapolis could be looking for a new quarterback.
I think they will be.
Jacksonville might have an open competition. Gardner Minshew might be the favorite, but you're paying Nick Foles a bunch of money. What are you going to do with him? Right? Kansas City's locked in. Drew Locke is in Denver. Derek Carr could be out with the Raiders. They could be looking for a new sit in a caller. The Chargers are definitely looking for a new quarterback. Right? I mean, Carson Wentz with the Eagles is fine. Dak Prescott could be a whole bunch of situations with him. Do they franchise him? Do they sign him to a long-term deal? Mm-hmm. Right? What do they do with, you know, what do they do in the, you know, what's going on there? Daniel Jones is going to probably get a year to figure out what he's all about. Right? The Redskins is still kind of up in the air. Right? Aaron Rodgers is good. All right. Kirk Cousins is good. Right? With the Bears, we'll probably give another year of Mitch Trubisky, but they're probably not enthusiastic.
You know the worst thing about Trubisky is right now, is like this kid needs to have a winning season.
He really does.
He desperately needs to come out of the gate just slinging it. You know, Bears almost undefeated, maybe a loss or two midway through the season in order for him to shake the stigma that this guy was chosen before Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes.
Yep, exactly. He definitely needs that. The NFC South is really interesting. I mean, the Saints Drew Brees could retire for the Saints. Yep. The Buccaneers could move on from Jameis Winston, and we think Cam Newton is out at Carolina.
Yeah,
you know, and like those are those three teams. And the West, right? Well, remember Jimmy Garoppolo lost the Super Bowl, and people were like, maybe they should trade him for Brady. I mean, really? Like less than 24 hours after guy loses the Super Bowl, people are like, move on? What are you, insane? But, you know.
Even swap. Send him back to New England. Brady gets to play for his childhood team.
Belichick would absolutely love that.
Oh, he would pull the trigger so
fast. Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Is that a move Kyle Shanahan would make thinking, oh, this is the way I win?
This is the
guy I need to hold on to a lead.
no kidding. He couldn't wait. He'll absolutely
lock
that in.
He burned me once before. Now I've got him on my side.
I am curious about Brees, though. I really am, about him retiring. Does he, you know, God, they are...
If
they
he
get
retires,
so close.
If
they
he retires 4 years, oh no, it's five. NFL's 5 years, right?
Right.
Then they're not all, because NBA is 4 years until Hall of Fame, or are they all 5 years?
I think they're all five years. But maybe it's four.
Because Kobe retired in 2016. He was going in 2020.
All right.
So maybe the NBA is the only outlier there. But regardless, if Drew Brees retires, that Hall of Fame class. What would that be? 2024?
Yeah, pretty good.
That's an amazing class.
It's going to be good. Going to be really good. But I mean, if you know, how frustrated it must be to be at home? Because I know this is the thing that plagued John Elway before he went and won the Super Bowls, was that feeling of, God, I just want to get back there and win this thing. And I know Brees won one, but there is that drive, but then there is that feeling of, okay, look, how do I really want to, do I really want to put all the effort and all of the time and all of the hits and all of the ice baths and all of the massages and all of those things that I have to do to be ready to play on Sunday? Do I want to go through all that to just try to capitalize on where I left off last season? Luckily for Elway, he got 2 Super Bowls and then said, that's it. All right, I'm done. I don't need any more and I don't want to do this anymore. But like, there are some players that just after a while, they're like, I can't.
All right,
if
we go down the list, we say Eli needs those 2 Super Bowls or he's not a Hall of Famer. We're on the fence about Rivers. If Rivers doesn't find a team and he retires right now, you know, he is a much better regular season quarterback than Eli Manning was, but he doesn't have the Super Bowl appearances. Is Drew Brees a first ballot Hall of Famer, having only won the 1 Super Bowl?
Without question.
Right? That's what I'm thinking. I mean, people can't make that argument with him.
Nope.
Because he only has 1 Super Bowl. We'll probably make that argument about Aaron Rodgers.
Longevity, all the records, a Super Bowl championship.
All the records, by the way.
All the records. All of them. All of the records. So, yeah, no doubt. Without question. So, listen, I've said this before, and I just... There are times where a player going up to the writers committee is just locked. We all know it. We all feel it. Then there are times where you go, that player is a lock, and then the writers don't vote in. And I go, what are you talking about? What are you doing? Right? So football is a little bit more complicated than baseball. Baseball, you can almost see there are numbers. There are better numbers. Certain numbers get you in. Obviously, Drew Brees is going to walk in. But some of those borderline quarterbacks, I wonder what the committee will say when it's all said. Now, Eli's the biggest one, right? There's going to be voters that won't vote Eli, right? There's going to be voters that will vote based on the Super Bowls. There'll be voters that will say, no. He comes in with the most baggage going in there, but just the fluidity of it is pretty amazing. It could be really fun this offseason to see how the landscape of the quarterback situation changes for a lot of teams in the NFL. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, coming up. I was blown away. I actually saw sorcery yesterday. Witchcraft. It's here. It's live. It's next. SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It is our reward bonus points month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings. Earn double our reward bonus points on all sale items, like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O'Rewards member yet? Sign up today online or in the store. Take advantage of bonus points month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free. But hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so yesterday, apparently, there was a new craze sweeping America that I was not aware of the whole day, which was, my wife showed it to me yesterday. So we're sitting around at night, just hanging out, talking, watching a little TV, and my wife just gets up off the couch, goes, hold on one second. She's on her phone. She goes in the closet in the kitchen. She pulls out a broom. She makes it stand up straight. Puts it on right on the floor, right on the ground, hovers it straight, lets it go, and it's standing up straight. And I couldn't believe it. I flipped out. I was like, oh my God, what kind of witchcraft is this? I mean, I was like, what trick are you? How did you do this? What trick? Did you learn something like a magic trick online or something? She goes, no. She explained to me that NASA said that there's some sort of gravitational pull of the earth that allows your brooms to stand straight up, and that everybody was doing it on social media. Everyone was posting it on Instagram. So she had to try it for herself. Sure enough, it worked. I lost my mind. I wish there was video running, because I was losing my head. I couldn't believe it. Now, I don't know if I think it's only one day, but I'm not sure. Maybe there's a window of time where this is going to last.
I hope
there
is. I want to try it.
It was unreal.
I mean, that's literally the first thing I want to do when I get home.
It was unbelievable. I tried it. I got to do it. I took the broom, I grabbed it, and then tried it, and then it worked for me.
Is it a specific broom type, or does it work for all brooms?
I don't know. It worked for our broom, and my wife saw other brooms on Instagram and decided to try it with ours.
Because I have that witch-looking broom.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it needs a base.
Yeah, I saw that a lot of them are that had like a rectangular base and stuck straight up. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's not mine.
Yeah,
mine's that old school witch-looking broom.
And Do you use it to fly around?
And quite honestly, I think I need a new one.
Do you play Quidditch?
Of course. Who doesn't?
Right, there you go. I've been known to
chuck a quaffle.
You go. It was freaky. I'm not kidding. The cool thing about it was I wasn't prepped for it whatsoever. I think that's what made it fun for me was I finally, when I went back to Twitter and I was like, oh, okay, people were doing this. All right, I get it. All right. So this was, but if I had been following Twitter all day and watching Facebook and whatnot, I would have saw it and said, oh, when I get home, I'd like to try that. Oh, they're talking about the gravitational pull of the earth. Oh, NASA said you could do this. Okay. I didn't know any of that going in. I knew none of it. My wife just shot up, went to the kitchen, grabbed a broom, made it stand up straight without falling down. And I lost my mind. I lost my mind. And I mean, it was great. I was so overjoyed by this. I don't know if other people did it or other people. I don't know the science behind it. I don't know. NASA tells me I can do something, I'll do it. I probably shouldn't, but, you know, why not? But I guess there was some sort of way. Now, my point, I asked this question, which is natural, my natural next step, right? And I said, okay, so the gravitational pull of the Earth allows brooms to stand up straight. But what else is it doing to things on Earth? Like, what is the gravitational pull doing to buildings? What is it doing to bridges? What is it doing to roads? What is it doing to anything else? Like, what's it doing to anything else? Trees. What's it doing to other things? Right? Like, I don't, like, it's not just a broom thing. What is it doing? And apparently nothing, because nobody seemed to have an answer to that question. So I throw it out there to all of you scientific listeners out there that know about this a little bit more than me. But I was not aware. Like, could I have done it with a baseball bat? Like, if I've got a baseball bat out of the garage and did it, could I have done it?
Well, I think it's a broom because it's, you know, you can't stand things on those bristles.
Well, that's what like makes it freaky.
A baseball bat, I mean, you can find probably, if you're good at balancing things, because, you know, there is a base on either end, you could probably get it to stand up on its own.
You can get a baseball bat to stand up on its own?
I'm certain you can.
If it has a rounded right. handle on the end of it, no.
But I think it would be easier to get a baseball bat to stand up on its end than a broom. That's what I'm saying.
Like, would it?
That's my take, Tony.
Would it have worked with an egg? Like, if we took an egg and put it on the counter? Like, I just wanted to know, was there other things I could have done?
If you spin besides an egg, would it just automatically spin in the wrong direction?
Yeah, right. True. I mean, what if I had gotten a painter's pole from the garage? Would that have stood up on its own?
Speaking of weird things like that, that's one of the highlight. One of the things I look most forward to if I ever go south of the equator
is the
water spinning the opposite direction.
Oh, cool!
Did you know that? Like when you were to flush a toilet.
That's right. I remember that.
The water spins in the opposite direction. I think that would be something for me. I'd be like, I'm filming this because this is amazing.
That's true.
And so, remember, there's a video of a guy, I mean, or somebody like somewhere in Ecuador, somebody does this, and they have buckets of water on each side of the equator. You know, it's literally just like a thin line, and you can see that the water spins in opposite directions on just either side of the equator. They're separated by like 5 feet.
Wow. Okay.
So
that's interesting.
That's, you know, that's something to look forward to.
Something to look forward to. If I ever head to Brazil or Australia.
Yes.
Anywhere else, I'll check that out.
Water spins the opposite way, which should probably be a mind blown as well. But yeah, I gotta try. I'm hoping it still works today.
Might.
I know NASA came out and says that has nothing to do with gravitational pull. They said it could, you know, happen anytime. But
what?
Why doesn't it happen anytime?
It could happen any day.
That's what
of
NASA.
The week?
That's what NASA is saying. But oh. I bet you, if you tried it today, it won't.
I don't, who am I to challenge NASA, but I've never.
No, I say fight NASA. NASA's hiding something.
Well, hold on. If that could happen any day of the week, it wouldn't be 2020 before somebody figured that out. Right? Well, this would have been a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, like, this would have been a child game. We would have done it. Listen, I lost my mind for something I've never seen before in my life. I've never seen a broom stand straight up on its bristles before without moving. Yeah. I mean, literally stood straight up without touching it.
Unless it was a broom, you knew it was like, that one's got to go.
Right? Yeah.
my bristles are gone.
My wife would argue. She's like, you've never seen a broom in your life, so shut up, okay? You just leave stuff on the ground.
But that's neither here nor there.
Hope somebody else sweeps it up, right? So nevertheless. But I've never seen a broom, man. I've never seen a broom stand straight up before.
It's
nuts.
And I'm watching some of these videos.
It's witchcraft.
I think NASA's hiding something.
Somebody needs to burn at the stake for this. Are you kidding me? They're going to come eat our children. What are you talking about?
I think you took that. You know, I don't know if anyone's going to eat your children.
Well, that's what witches do. Didn't you watch Hocus Pocus?
Or Hansel and Gretel?
Yeah.
Were they getting fat?
What were they getting fat for, Ron? Just to be part of some sort of, you know, Slim Fast commercial? No, they're fattening them up to eat them.
That's right.
Right? Take a broom, make it stand on its end. Make it stand on its end without. What am I supposed to believe? Right? That there's no witches around? That's nuts. It was crazy fun yesterday. Crazy fun. Not as fun as the good, the bad, and the dumb, which is coming up next. SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
It is the good, the bad, and the dumb as we roll along on a Tuesday. Glad you can be with us on SB Nation AM. And, you know, let's feel a lot better about this Tuesday by getting the good of the day.
Oh, the good, the Mets.
The Mets.
The Mets are always good. Go ahead, sing it,
da,
man.
Da. Come on down and greet the Mets. Bring your kitties, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life. Yeah, Mets.
There you go. That's the good right there. Thank you very
How
much,
you
gentlemen.
Very much so.
No, the Mets are about to open up a $57 million spring training facility.
What?
Yeah.
Does it have an amusement park attached to it?
Pretty much. When you look at these
$57 million?
Spring training.
Just for the spring training complex?
Just for the spring training complex.
It's a baseball field with stands.
Oh, you should see the locker room. The locker room is just absolutely ridiculous.
For spring training?
Yeah, hey, Google
this
it.
This is great. I am.
Google it so you can see the photos.
Right now.
But that's not the best part about it. The best part about it is that minor leaguers will not be allowed to use it.
That is so great.
Because the Mets want something for them to strive for.
Don't even look at this.
I'm certain there's a pathway marked off by red velvet ropes that the minor leaguers get to cruise through and like, oh, someday my locker will be right there. I mean, it looks amazing.
This
locker
is great.
Room.
I am looking at this. This is great.
This locker room is insane.
Good for the Mets. This is awesome. Minor leaguers can't use it.
They can't use it. You got to work for it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So if we look at it, big picture, Tim Tebow would not be allowed to use this locker
room. That's right. That's right. That's right, Tim. Don't even think about it. When you are when you're playing this spring, you don't get to sit with the real baseball players.
Now, how does this work, right? I mean, say I don't know, Jonas Cespedes. He's coming back from injury, right?
I think so, yeah.
What if he needs more time and he's demoted down to AAA?
Ooh, that's a good question.
He can't use the facilities.
Once a Met, always a Met? Is that could that be at play? Like if you had a moment of Met glory, you would get to be
part of...
There's
got to be a clause in there, right?
You get to be part of the deal?
I mean, but in Cespedes' case, I'm sure he's just working his way back.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. This is really,
but
really
what if you're,
awesome.
What if you're like an aging player signed to a minor league deal because you're just hoping to relive some glory days?
Okay. I don't know. I'm looking at this now. My father is a giant Mets fan, and he lives in Florida now, retired down in Florida. I don't know how far Port St. Lucie is. Where he lives, but whatever the distance is, I would drive to that. I would drive it to see this place.
Yes.
So, Pop, if you're listening, get in the car and drive to Port St. Lucie.
Right now.
Right now. And see this incredible baseball facility that probably you, in a way, helped pay for every time you bought a shirt or a hat or anything Mets related. $57 million. Here's my problem with a story like that, and I don't know how much $57 million goes anymore. You know, like when I was a kid, like $57 million, I thought was like Richie Rich money. Remember that cartoon?
Yeah,
Richie Rich.
That's a drop in the hat now,
right? Where Richie Rich had everything he could ever want ever. He had a talking robot. He had everything. To me, that would be like that's about $50 million. Now it's like, oh, Tony, you don't understand. $50 million, that barely buys the seats to a place like this. Like, that barely covers the cost of a weight room. Like, I have no clue. But this is nice. This is a nice place.
No, it looks
place.
Amazing.
This is really a nice place. $57 million.
I mean, I'm trying to accurately describe what the locker room looks like. I mean, it looks like, it almost looks like a place, like a betting hall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
I mean,
the seats place
are,
where
the
you
seats
just,
are amazing.
You just go and kick back on a leather chair, leather couch, and gigantic screen TVs hanging from the ceiling.
there is a half field for infield work. Like there's like where you can, there's like a separate section that's just like a half a field where you can do some, there's a bunting field. There's a huge new turf diamond. So like, listen, if you make a bunting field at spring training, you better be the best bunting team in Major League Baseball. Okay. Yeah. Like or I need to see that more this year, Mets.
Or defend against it.
A Gatorade bar, a HydroWorks therapy pool. This is just for spring training. This is like, but it's also a place where players could, like, during the season, if they're injured, they can go down and, like, get some work.
Yeah, get rehab.
Yeah, go do some rehab before they go to Syracuse or Binghamton or wherever the heck they got to go. They can go down to Florida and work with trainers, like, just to get themselves.
Oh, yeah, it's open all year round. In a previous life, in a former job I had when I lived in Arizona, I used to work with the Cincinnati Reds training facility all the time.
Oh,
and that was fantastic because I would go down there, hang out, and you'd have Reds players in and out. But most of the time, it was minor leaguers. It wasn't every once in a while you get a major leaguer in there who was just that's where he would do his rehab work.
Yeah, this is nice.
But, but the best part about it, no minor leaguers can use it. I'm upset that they didn't include the photo of the red velvet rope.
That's true.
And the bouncer,
what you need.
The bouncer checking out the roster, going, I don't see you on the list, sir.
There's
going to
be murals of former Mets greats. The first one, they have Doc Gooden up there, and then Eddie Cranepool. I have no idea who Ed Cranepool is. I don't know my Mets history that well.
He was back in 69. But, was he part of the amazing Mets?
Yeah. I'm going to assume that's true.
Surprised those are the first two.
Yeah.
That roll off the tongue.
I know a lot of the players from the 69 Mets, and I don't remember him. So, but he probably is on the team because I don't know everybody. But, Ron Swoboda.
Yeah, our
J.C. Martin.
Why not Tom Seaver?
Tommy Eggy?
Nolan
Ryan?
Yeah,
Tom Seaver, right? Tom Seaver probably should be up there. Probably.
You know, Gary Carter.
Gil Hodges.
I mean, there's a lot of really good Mets players at some point. Bobby Bonilla, you're still paying them.
might as well put a bureau of a guy that's still on the payroll. Why not? One of the great Mets moments in history. Yeah.
6 months from now, he's getting a check.
Why don't you? That's great. All right, what's the bat of the day?
The bat of the day, we're sticking with baseball, and we're doing it this way. Former Blue Jays pitcher Mike Bolsinger.
Oh, yeah.
This is making the rounds today. He's suing the Astros for ending his career. It's probably going to be the first of many lawsuits. Well, I can't say the first lawsuit because the city of L.A. decided to sue the Astros, which is stupid. But Mike Bolsinger actually might have a point.
He's got a really good case here. This is, in all seriousness, he's got an interesting case.
Because he pitched in a game against the Astros. When he left that game, he was like, man, it was like they knew every pitch I was throwing.
Right.
They were laying off the pitches they were swinging at before. They were doing this and that. And it was like all of a sudden they just knew me inside and out. They knew everything I was doing. And shortly after that, he got sent down to the minor leagues, and where he finished out that season, but was never re-signed again by any other club. Never even sniffed at. Now, a lot of people are pointing out that he wasn't that great of a pitcher anyways, that his career is probably going to end no matter what. But, you know, what if that was, I don't know, if it would be a tricky lawsuit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there is some merit to it.
This would be like me going on a date with Margot Robbie and blaming the restaurant for a bad meal as to me not closing the deal with Margot Robbie. Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I probably didn't have a chance with her anyway, but I'm just going to blame the restaurant
for
the meal. She could. That's true.
She could like funny.
She could, yeah, I guess. But it's like trying to find an extra circumstance to your failure.
Right.
Right, it's like saying, I would have been a major league player today if it wasn't for the Astros. But his point is, there's also some interesting evidence here that there was a guy that built a website based on finding audio, like he found video and enhanced the audio of the trash can. And in his outing against the Astros on August, they hit the can 12 times in his pitches. Of the 20-something pitches he threw, 12 of the pitches were trash canned, if you will.
Yep.
And that's his argument.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There is some merit to this.
There is some merit to
this. I doubt the lawsuit goes anywhere.
No.
But there is some merit to it. Just like, I mean, you know, this is, honestly, I'm glad that Rob Manfred has the time to say, let's toy around with the postseason. a little bit.
Right.
But the larger, I mean, maybe it's trying to use it as a distraction from the larger issue, because so far we've had like couple people really come out and plead a case that is very substantial. The other person I'm thinking about is Pete Rose.
Pete Rose, yeah.
Because if none of the Astro players are getting in trouble for this, why should Pete Rose be in trouble?
And real quick before we get to the dumb of the day, this is something that I always was suspecting that there was going to be an avalanche. Like once one person kind of came out in the public and said, man, I really hate this. Like I really am mad at this. I'm really furious at this. I pitched against the Astros. That happened to me. I'm ticked off. I thought, oh God, here, they're all going to start coming out. Like
and
all
they probably
these people
will.
Are going to start coming out. This is going to get more and more as people realize, oh, I'm not going to get in trouble for this. I'm not going to get reprimanded for speaking out on this. I'm going to say my piece about it and more. And if you're Rob Manfred, that's the last thing you need. You want this to go
Dodgers.
Away and you can't. Yeah, the Dodgers were told to keep quiet and the players were like, nah, we're going to talk about it.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
And what has happened? Any of them been fined? Any of them been penalized?
Not at all.
Serving a game suspension because there was a gag order placed on the Dodgers and they weren't supposed to say anything? Nah, they're coming right out and saying it.
They come right out and saying it.
They don't care.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
I originally put this under a Skynet alert.
Yeah, I love these. When we basically alert the audience that the end of the world is coming.
Yeah.
Right.
This one's very weird, and you'll have an appreciation of this because you yourself have dabbled into virtual reality.
I have.
I think this was in Korea, maybe in South Korea. Maybe it was Japan. I don't know. One of those countries. Televised this as well, by the way. This is what makes it even bizarre. They had a grieving mother interact with the virtual reality version of her deceased 7-year-old daughter.
Ooh.
And she was given touch gloves or whatever those gloves are called, where you could feel it was like sensitive. So when she went to put her hand on her daughter's face, it was a 3D version of her daughter. Mimicked her daughter, was able to move around. She was like able to hold her hand, touch her face. She could feel it in these gloves.
Ooh, this is really creepy.
Yeah, and it was televised.
Okay, that's enough
for the world to see. So it's dumb to be putting this on TV, but I'm also looking at it a step further. That we're okay, now you're sucking us in where we're all just going to be wearing headsets. So we can talk to our deceased relative. Who knows what's going to happen after that?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the computer. I mean, what if this daughter all of a sudden is like, you know what, Mom, I need you to do this. It starts thinking on its own. I'm looking at the bad side of it all.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Ooh, that's really, really freaky. We talk about this with AI. It's the genie in the bottle. It's not going back in. It's like virtual reality is going to be, when they made that movie Up, and they had, not Up, what was the movie with WALL-E? Where
Wally.
Everybody on the spaceship was wearing, it was just basically laying around doing nothing.
Just sitting in the scooters.
Yeah. Like literally, I have one of those virtual reality things. And I'm telling you, man, you could disappear to a forest and just chill out. You can lay on your bed.
Right. That's why.
And be in a beach. You can be in a forest. It's all around you.
I thought you would appreciate it.
It's amazing.
Because you even said you can watch Netflix.
Yeah. You can sit there and watch Netflix. And you'd be, instead of watching Netflix, just having the movie on a screen, you're actually in a living room with a snowy, like a window where there's a mountain, there's a snow mountain outside, a mountain with snow. And a fireplace. And instead of watching Netflix just where the movie's just on your goggles, you can have that too. You can actually watch it as if you are in a luxury living room watching it. That's the virtual reality part of it.
Right.
I've been.
So, I mean, basically, you're tuning yourself out from the real world and putting yourself in this virtual world where you may not want to say this mother who interacted with her deceased daughter, she may not want to be in the real world anymore.
Your brain really gets screwed up. I mean, it really does. I mean, I've done these skydiving games where you're like your wingsuit games where I'm on this ledge on top of a mountain. And I swear, I'm like, my heart's racing. My knees are queasy. I don't want to jump when it says jump. And I know I'm in my bedroom. I know I'm standing in a room with regular feet. I know this, but my brain doesn't. My brain's like, oh no, we're not jumping. We're going to die. It's really freaky. And it's, I don't know. That genie's not going back in the bottle.
No,
it's
going to
be,
but now they're just
going to
take
more and more stories
further.
Like that.
Now you're taking it a step further. And then you can have a programmer on the other side who's like, oh, let's get some information.
Yeah, that's right.
Because now you're taking a situation that's at a person's most vulnerable.
That's right.
And willing to do anything.
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's SB Nation AM.
The This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
God, I love having information on my fingertips, man. It's the best. I didn't know who Ed Cranepool was of the Mets, so I quickly looked him up. And you're right, he played on the 69 Miracle Mets team. He had a home run in Game 3 of the series, lifting the Mets over the Orioles 5-0. He actually made his debut in the expansion year of the Mets in 1962 in September. So there you go. Ed Cranepool. He's on the mural of the new Mets facility down in Florida.
There Who else is on the mural?
Doc Gooden right now. So it's from what I saw, they said these are the two murals that are up. So I guess they're going to finish them. So... there you go. There'll be Tom Seaver's on that mural. That'll be a lot more. So
they got to, right?
Yeah, they got to do it. They got to do it. So by the way, if you've never gone to spring training, whether in Arizona or Florida with your favorite baseball team, you should make a pilgrimage to it. If you have never done it, it's great. It's fun. I loved it.
It's fantastic.
It really is. I did a week of shows for the Rockies in Tucson about 10 years ago, 10, 11 years ago. And it was one of the funnest weeks of my career. It was such a good time.
Very intimate.
Yep.
You don't go in expecting to see your stars play.
No, but just go for baseball in the sunshine and in March. It's great.
And really competitive baseball because you have a lot of guys who are busting their ass just to make the team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. You don't go to watch it's like it's March, it's nice. It's Florida. If you're traveling, if you live down there, it's just baseball. It's cool. I loved it. I've been to Florida, Scottsdale, Tucson. I love spring training. The atmosphere of it, it's great. But mostly because, you know, I grew up in a wintry climate, so getting to sunshine in March is always a good thing. But highly recommend it. And these, by the way, spring training complexes, like the Mets we're talking about, are getting better and better and better. There's one in Scottsdale where a whole bunch of teams play. That's one of the nicest spring training facilities that's out there. It's really good stuff.